Good evening, and welcome to another Bedtime Story with Thompson. We are reading from The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. This is Chapter 10, A Terrible Stampede. As Monday dawned, a roaring wave of fear swept through London. There was panic at the railway stations, at the docks along the Thames, and along every road leading north and east out of the city. By noon, both the railways and the police were completely disorganized. By 2 o'clock, people were fighting savagely for standing room in the carriages. By 3, people were being trampled and crushed in the streets outside the railway stations. Revolvers were fired, people were stabbed, and policemen who had been trying to direct traffic were so exhausted and enraged that they were fighting with the very people they were called out to protect. As the day wore on, engineers and coal shovelers on the trains refused to return to London with their empty trains to evacuate more of the fleeing population. People then headed for the northward roads in ever-thickening crowds. My brother Frank had tried in vain to get aboard a northbound train at Chalk Farm Station. The engines were plowing through crowds of shrieking people, and a dozen brave men tried to keep the crowd from rushing the engineer against his furnace. Crushing the engineer, rather. So Frank set out on foot, dodging all sorts of vehicles. As he trudged through the village after village, he found shops half open in the main streets and people crowding the pavement, doorways and windows, staring in astonishment at the extraordinary procession of fugitives from London. Most were on bicycles, but soon there were motor cars, hansom cabs, and carriages hurrying along the road. "Push on," was the cry of the fugitives. "Push on, they're coming." Some of the people in the carts whipped their horses and quarreled with other drivers. Some sat motionless, staring miserably at nothing. Some bit at their hands or lay outstretched in the bottom of their wagons. The horses' bits were covered with foam from their mouths, and their eyes were bloodshot. Trampling past Frank were well-dressed but sad, haggard men and women with stumbling, crying children, their lips black and cracked, their dainty clothes covered with dust, their weary faces smeared with tears. Fighting side by side with them for space in the road were weary, wide-eyed, loud-voiced street urchins in faded black rags. Wounded soldiers struggled along with workmen in every type of dress. They were all thirsty, weary, and footsore. But despite the variety in the crowd, there was one thing that they all had in common: the fear and pain on their faces. "Make way! Make way! The Martians are coming!" rang the hoarse, weak voices in the crowd. Frank noticed a bearded, eagle-faced man walking near him and dragging a small bag. Suddenly the bag split open and out poured a mass of gold coins. They rolled in every direction under the pounding feet of men and horses. The man stopped and looked at the pile of coins, dumbfounded, frozen to the spot. At the moment he froze, the edge of a carriage struck his shoulder and sent him reeling to the side of the road. As soon as the carriage had passed, he flung himself with both hands open, on the heap of coins, and began stuffing handfuls in his pockets. At that moment a horse came riding down on him, and the man fell under the animal's trampling hooves. "Stop!" screamed my brother as he tried to grab the horse's bit, but before he could get a hold of it, he heard a scream under the wheels and saw the rim pass over the man's back. Frank bent down to help the wounded man and saw that his back was broken and his legs were unmoving. "Help me get him out of the road!" Frank called to an approaching horseman. Clutching the wounded man by his jacket, the two men dragged him off the road. All the while, the man's wildly grasping hands were trying to gather in his gold. Suddenly, an oncoming carriage crashed into a cart, and the cart and its horse fell towards the three men. The cart and the horse missed Frank by a hair, but fell directly on the man with the gold, crushing him to death under the still spinning wheels. Frank turned back to the road and was swept along in the noise and confusion for several hours, until several forks in the road appeared, relieving the press of the crowd. Frank took the eastward fork. He passed trains heading north, swarming with people but without signals. He passed multitudes of people drinking at streams, with others pushing and fighting to get near the water. Towards evening, as hunger and cold began to come on, Frank began to feel utterly exhausted, but he didn't dare sleep. He stopped to rest, however, only to see people hurrying along the road, fleeing from unknown dangers, but going in the direction from which he had just come. Never before in the history of the world had such a mass of human beings moved and suffered together as did those fleeing from London. And it wasn't an orderly flight. It was a gigantic and terrible stampede. 6 million people, without arms, without food and supplies, were driving headlong without a goal or destination. End of chapter 10. That was pretty exciting, Thompson.
Yep, yes, sir.
But that's all we have for tonight. Good night.